Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we're joining our host, Dr. Debbie Green, Grand Rising.
And Good morning, Grand Rising. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic, blessed, and grateful. Glad to be here on another sunny Thursday morning here in Chicago. How are things there in Atlanta?
Actually, we have this beautiful weather. It is high in the 70s, like 79. it was like 80 something. It's just warm, you know, it's excessively warm.
Oh, that is
so
great. That is great.
Like,
yeah.
That's a good thing, right? So when I want to get some cool weather, I know where to come.
Absolutely. We always got a breeze here, yes.
Exactly. Have you guys got warmer yet, though?
It got up to the high 70s. I think it hit 80 for a minute there a couple of days ago. So we're still kind of going back and forth between, you know, spring and summer, but that's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that happens, right? Yeah.
Well, we got a great lineup today. This topic came in big demand. Actually, was something I have been concentrating on all week with my clients and my patients at the hospital. So I said, okay, I'm going to keep that momentum going, you know.
Mm.
Understanding the power of letting go. You know, letting go is a power behind letting go, and it's actually a theory. It's called detachment theory. It is a theory. And most people find it difficult to let go of things because we are emotional hoarders.
Mm. I like that term, emotional hoarders.
I call it emotional hoarders or emotional pack rats.
Yeah, I've been that way. This show is for me, you all. I've been that way. I mean, it's taken me some years to understand that holding on to anger at someone because of something they did in the past doesn't make the thing that they did go away, nor does it make you feel any better about it. It keeps you in that energy of that anger of that moment, and you can't progress, you can't go forward until you can let it go.
Yeah, that's anger. All the emotions, Naima, is only sending messages to us to sort and settle and finalize. Please, sort, settle, and finalize. That's all they're doing. So if someone's out there in Facebook land, you know, Blog Talk Radio, if you like, why does this keep coming up? It's because you have not finalized, you have not settled or sort that particular issue in your being.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So before we get started, I just want to let you know what happens to the freezer burnt damaged emotions.
Ooh, freezer burnt damaged emotions. Wow.
Freezer burnt. Yeah. You know how you store something in the freezer and you forget about it unless you went and going about your business, you didn't realize, you know, oh, yes, I did buy a pack of chicken last, you know, month or something.
Been
there
a while.
But, I mean, then you go and you buy some more or whatever the case may be. But what I'm saying is, in a nutshell, is that we store emotions, damaged emotions, in the corridors of our subconscious mind. And we call that the back of the mind. You ever heard somebody, oh, I'm going to put that to the back of my
back
mind?
Back of my mind, yeah.
You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I just want to let everybody know the back of the mind gets full, too, just by the way. Okay?
Ooh.
It gets full. And what happens when it's full, it starts to try to communicate with the heart that's holding that issue.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
The experience, the visual experience of that is compacted in the subconscious parts of your brain.
Mm.
The issue and the emotions concerning those things are in your heart.
Wow.
Now, when you continually put things in the back of your mind, as one would say, we call it another word for suppression, regression, oppression.
Wow.
So you got several things that's going on there, you know, and now, mind you, life is still going on, so you're still collecting things as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're collecting. You're collecting, you know, if something happens the next day, if you got a habit of suppressing, you're going to collect. You're going to suppress that issue as well. So you hold on, right? I think think what people think, when I, okay, when I say suppress, I mean that you don't work that out. You hold on to that thought. You hold on to that feeling. You know, instead of processing it mentally, if you process mentally what's going on, then you will figure out, wait a minute, I've been married. I have been angry for years about this particular situation.
It's long gone, and I'm still holding on to the anger.
So anger just doesn't stay angry anymore, which means it starts to change into different things.
Ooh.
No emotion ever stays the same initially, that is. It starts to transmute, it starts to move, starts to, and we got to be very careful with toxic emotions,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
So again, I want you to understand this process. It goes from the back of the mind to the heart.
Mm.
And the heart then encases the issues of that particular situation, also holds the emotions concerning that. Now, we do have an emotional regulator in our brain, which is called the amygdala. And what it does is it lets us know when there's a threat present.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we are not conscious, aware of what we are feeling emotionally, we will not know that we are in threat mode.
Mm. Wow.
We will not know that we are overly stressed. We will not know that we're going through a hardship area until the extreme comes, of course. Then you don't have no choice but to know then.
Mm.
Extreme is interruptions in ADLs. Activity of daily living, your sleep patterns are interrupted, your eating patterns are interrupted, you tend to not want to talk much, your communication is then broken down. Now, these are extreme cases.
Yes.
But with some awareness, you should know, wow, what's happening, I feel a change in me, if you are emotionally available for yourself.
Emotionally available for yourself in order to understand that, yeah.
Well, of course, because you got to feel.
Yeah.
You know, some people get into that emotional blindness area where they don't feel anything anymore.
It's like the
numbness.
Because
they've been in pain. Yeah, because they've been in pain, mental and emotional pain, so often to the point where they're just used to it.
Mm. Somebody mentioned, I can't remember who it was, they were talking about they had gone to a funeral where a young person had been killed, and all their friends came, and it's like all the young people, all the teenagers are just emotionless. It was like they were just blank, and they were wondering, well, has it gotten to the point where they've just, because this keeps happening, it's so awful that they've just become numb to it, where they just can't even express any emotions anymore because it just, the pain just, it's so overwhelming, you just numb yourself, like the body going into shock, you know, so your emotions go into shock, so you just numb.
In order for one to feel emotions of another human being effectively, they have to learn, you know, be aware of what they're feeling inside. So it's obvious if they were not aware of the emotions that they were in that present moment, there's a good chance that they just didn't have any self-awareness.
Mm.
And it's unfortunate that all of them were like that. Somebody should have shed a tear, but if these were teenagers, I don't know if they were teenagers or not.
Yeah, teenagers.
If they were teenagers, what happens is that the brain does not have a logical center just yet, because the brain is not developed totally in the logical center until they're 24, 25 years old. So they may just been responding off of impulses, like, let me just sit still and not say nothing. There's a good chance they were suppressing as well.
I would tend to think so, because often after tragedies, we'll see some type of aberrant behavior from young people.
Right.
And I think it's the unexpressed grief that they're feeling, whether it's the grief over the death of a loved one, you know, breakup of a family, you know, some other tragedy, even their own personal relationship breakups. And young people seem to really overreact, even become suicidal. I'm sure you see this a lot, you know, become suicidal at the breakup of a relationship because they really weren't emotionally equipped to handle the intensity of the relationships. And several years ago we had a counselor on that talked about how when young people become sexually active and they're unprepared for the biochemical connection that creates, and then when they break up, it's so overwhelmingly emotionally devastating that they become suicidal. But you don't see it sometimes. And then suddenly out of nowhere, you know, someone has taken their life and their parents are like, well, we didn't even know they had a problem because they didn't express it. It was hidden. And no one knew that they were going, they said maybe they're close friends, but, you know, they were on the outside, they just looked numb, just blank.
Well, and that's what I was talking about, suppressing emotions. And when we suppress emotions, we get oppressed as well. Mm-hmm. We feel something's happening unfairly to us. We don't often tell another person what we're thinking due to the fact because we don't want to appear weak or feel, you know, less than or feel pitied about. So.
Yeah.
We just literally hold that completely inside. And when we hold it inside, again, Naima, it takes a toll on our being because energy only expands. It doesn't go away. It only transmutes into something else. It doesn't, especially powerful emotions such as anger, regret, hurt, grief, despair, sorrow. You know, say all of these are very powerful, guilt, shame.
Yeah.
These are real, real powerful emotions that tend to transition into other things.
Yes.
And again, we don't realize how severe it is until our bodies start to give us a signal and start to break down.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to let things go and move on. And you think, I mean, because if someone was ever violated as a child, or any time, you know, emotionally, mentally, sexually, or however, ever felt, you know, taken advantage of, or any of those things, these emotions of hurt, disgust, emotions of feeling victimized, that bring on anger, that bring on hate, that bring on, you know, different types of feelings, you know, and it makes it difficult for us to let go of because we are attached to that particular thing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And we think that if I let go, they'll win. If I let go, you know, if I let go, they will get over. They will, you know, they will be bigger than me or some other. I'm just giving examples of what will happen. But no, if you let go, you're going to get your power back.
Well, you know, I was talking to someone the other day who survived, you know, childhood sexual assault and was holding on to the anger. And I was trying to explain the philosophy of forgiveness, letting go of the anger for your own peace of mind. And they expressed what you just said. Well, if I let it go, then it's like I'm saying it's okay they did this. So, you know, my anger is my strength, you know, to remind myself that they did me wrong and that shouldn't have happened. So what do you say to people who feel that their anger is reminding themselves or confirming to themselves that they were wrong, they were abused, and they should hold this anger because that somehow, I don't know, projecting anger at that person, which is their way of fighting back, even though the person who's feeling the anger is them and the other person really isn't feeling the anger to the degree that they would feel attacked But the person who's holding on to the anger is feeling like this is the way I'm fighting back, you know, holding on to my anger at them. How do you get them to see that that is
well,
really
again,
not helping?
They don't understand the concept. They don't understand the concept. And see, the concept, and most people don't, because remember, we weren't taught this as children.
No one teaches
this in school.
No.
How to let go of a damaged emotion, okay,
yeah,
from an experience or event or whatever in your life. So you have to come to terms with yourself. It's not the violator. It's not the event. It's not the experience. You have to come to terms with yourself. What am I doing now after? And see, this takes a logical analysis.
Yeah.
You got to go back, because if you stay in your feeling center, no, you will always be a victim.
Right.
Because that's what you are. You're going to always be a victim of circumstances, of pain, of disgust, of abuse, of crisis, whatever you want to name it. You will always be a victim of it until you make a decision.
Let it go.
To come to terms with it.
Yeah.
This is nothing but a fear unsettled.
Mm.
That's all.
Unsettled. Yes.
It's a fear unsettled. Did it happen? Yes. We don't, that cannot be denied because you lived it. You see what I'm saying? But to continue to allow it to deteriorate you, now that's a question that you have to ask.
So what I read recently is that trauma is when an emotion gets trapped and you stay in that emotion of that event that happened as if it is still happening. And
right.
So for you, it is still happening because that is the emotion that you felt when you experienced it. And so you're keeping yourself in the experience by holding on to the emotion that that experience created. And that's what trauma is. So if someone, whether they experience, say, a public humiliation of some type or some other devastating loss, and they're staying in that feeling that they had, believing that as long as I hold on to this emotion, then this thing can't happen to me again. Even something like a heartbreak, you know, you hold on to the bitterness toward your ex, and you feel like as long as I hold on to this anger, nobody can hurt me again. But you're holding on to the anger and the hurt, so that is what you're living. You're repeating that experience even though it is over and gone, and you can't experience anything positive because you're staying in the negative emotion.
Correct.
So how does the person undo that thought process that makes them feel like they're protecting themselves by holding on to the negative emotion from a negative experience?
Well, let's break that down. Let me get a little deeper so you can understand the concept of how the brain and heart and the spirit communicates what you just said. Okay? Now, trauma is experience of tragedy of some kind, mild, moderate, or severe. The whole being remembers the trauma. Okay? It has memory. Every cell in your body is made of water.
And water.
Water has memory.
Yeah.
We are 70% water.
Yeah.
Okay? So, that being said, your brain has the capacity to hold that thought, hold those visions. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And every part of your being, down to your body, conscious,
mm-hmm,
holds the memory. So when one says to oneself, I don't know how to get out of this, you're correct. The only thing about this is the only way you're going to free yourself is that you have to consciously be aware of what your being is experiencing.
Mm.
You have to radically accept what has happened to you.
Yes.
The next move after that is choice every day. Every day, because it's a good chance you could be suffering with PTSD if you find yourself being triggered through your senses, because this is where the triggering starts. It comes through the sensory organs, your eyes, your hearing, Naima, called intellectual flexibility, which is another word for perception, okay? So all of these things activate. They activate. As soon as you, if that thought ever is stimulated from a present moment, whatever, sound, taste, as I said, you immediately go into that area of your life. The brain brings it all the way to the front, which is rotate. I don't care if it happened in 1999. Guess what? Roll tape. Because it's in there. So what happens, most people think that they're, again, still experiencing the same experiences, same experiences. No, it's just the brain just bringing it under a reminder. Now, what one can do is acknowledge, okay, I am going through this. What am I going to do? Because I'm in crisis right now. I feel the pressure of this situation upon me. What am I going to do? You see what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm opening my mouth and I'm rationalizing. I am safe. I am not there, but I have this memory. What am I going to do right now to protect myself? Mm. Now, if there's three systems, and I'm going to say this because we're going to go over this again because I know in 3 minutes we got to take a break. There's three systems, drive system, soothing system, and threat system. And it's all inside of us. It's inside of our brains. It's inside of the areas of our brains that help us to rationalize, help us to make decisions, and all these things. Now, when a person is under severe trauma, a lot of these systems get ignored. They just stay in the threat system. Now, I want to break the systems down so everyone will be able to do it. Anytime a person is overwhelmed with any damaged emotion, you should know how to use your systematic orders of emotional regulation. And, you know, if you're in therapy, if your therapist is not going over with this, shame on her or he, because guess what? If you can control or when, let me say this, when you can control your emotions, you can control your life. I'm talking about what you respond to your life. I'm not talking about what's outside of yourself. Let's get that clear. You can't control the outside. You can try, but it ain't going to happen. You can't control people. You can't control circumstances, situations, consequences. You can somewhat be practical with them by your choices that you make and your decisions, but you cannot control them. Because things happen sometimes beyond our control.
Yeah.
They know. Right? And that thing is called change.
Yeah.
Which people don't like because we are habitual-minded individuals. We want things to stay the same. We don't want nothing to change. And the thing about the things that we want to change, we don't change. The things that need changes, we avoid them.
Yeah. Which makes no
sense. I'm just being real. This is what happens, right? So I want to really focus on the threat system right before we go to break. Now, the threat system is better safe than sorry, okay? So in other words, when these emotions start to come up from any given situation or circumstance, doesn't matter what it is, and you feel that adrenaline starts to move, that's your threat system. In that car accident, threat system. In an argument, threat system. In grief, threat system. Loss, threat system.
Yeah.
You ever lost your keys?
Oh.
And you feel like, oh, my God, oh, my God, where are my keys? I can't.
Panic.
You know,
yes.
You go into panic mode. Okay, that's the threat system. That's the threat system. So the threat system, again, is just letting you know, hey, there's an issue. Let's slow down and take care of that. You hear what I'm saying? Slow down. Most of us don't slow down. We go full speed.
Speed up, yes.
And the adrenaline and cortisol is being released from your brain. Right there. It's being released from your brain to get you in what they call prepared mode. That's all it's for.
So cortisol, is that like adrenaline where, you know, it's kind of the fight or flight mode cortisol?
Well, cortisol is a part of adrenaline, but adrenaline is its own chemical that's being released.
Ah.
Cortisol is another chemical that actually intenses our muscles.
Mm.
Like, you know, like if there's an accident, we start getting intense, the blood just flows, and we're ready to, like, fight, flight, or freeze. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when that is released, then we have to make a decision, because here comes anger, here comes distress.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Here comes anxiety, all in one.
Wow.
All in one. Now, if we don't do anything, let's say there's no accident, but we're in threat mode. Let's say we're not even experiencing a loss, but we're in threat mode. That means the subconscious mind has gotten used to you being in threat mode because you have not shifted it.
Mm.
You've got to do a body shift. The body can only shift only when you're consciously aware of what is going on. Now, if you're not consciously aware that you're in threat mode and your anxiety is so high, out of control, that's why people have anxiety disorders, because their bodies are constantly in threat mode because they never learn how to shift themselves mentally and emotionally until they feel a release in the body. See, the body has a conscious. It thinks on its own.
Mm.
Think about it. If you're stressed, your body will become tense. If you're worried, your body will become tense. Sometimes you even may get nauseated. Don't you know that there is a sickness, a chronic sickness, many of them, from stress? I'll just give you one, IBS, Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
Ooh, ooh.
That person, whoever they are, has been in threat mode for long periods of time until the body doesn't know any other way but to stay with symptomatic orders.
Mm.
Now, if you notice symptoms of IBS, it's upper GI issues, as well as your digestive system. You either go too much or not go at all. You have a lot of pain in your tummy. You know, sometimes you have problems even keeping down food.
Mm-hmm.
It's different things that the body will do because it's in distress mode. It doesn't know how to come out of it. So it's a chronic illness. And doctors will tell you that stress coming from damaged emotions.
Damaged emotions.
It's the most toxic thing that you could ever do to yourself.
And most of us walk around with damaged emotions.
So we're going to go into the other system when we come back from break.
All right. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That'll light your number up on our switchboard. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a thought you'd like to share or a question to ask for Dr. Debbie Green, press 1. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
Because we're moving from that adrenaline, you know, all Ask yourself, self-talk is very good when you are moving from one area to another area. And because if you don't operate and change the way you think, you cannot control your emotions. That you, so it's, sometimes it's good to be, a, you know, have that self-talk. Like, what am I doing? You know, I've been like this for so long. What's happening? You know what I'm saying? And if you get to a point where you're not sure of what to do, well, it's like at that point you have to just kind of rest. Take a moment. Take some deep breaths so that you can focus on what you need to do instead of just not doing anything, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you got to move. A moving target never gets hit, but sitting duck, well,
wow. You
know the story. So you have to constantly keep moving in your being when you're going through crisis, people, when you're going through hurt, when you're going through pain, when you're going through anger, when you're going through guilt, when you're going through shame, when you're going through whatever life may be throwing at you, keep it moving.
Yeah.
You have not the option to hold still, stand still, long periods of time. And if you do have to do that, you got 72 hours to do it, okay? How about that? All right? Some people are like, well, I don't know, I can't do this. Okay, that's self-defeat. If you keep telling yourself that, you're right. You will never come out. You will get comfortable with pain. You will make a bed with pain. You'll wake up with it, go to sleep with it, because you're always in threat mode.
Wow.
Okay, so this is why it's so important to understand your emotional regulation system. Okay, drive. Drive is like, I want something different now. I want to feel something different now. No, not next week, not next month, not next year, now. So it forces you to make a decision. It's for it, because that's the only way it's going to change. It's that you got to make a decision to do what? Let it go.
Now, what happens with people?
All right.
I have a friend who, well, I actually have two associates who experienced a carjacking. It was, of course, very traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that they have not been able to let go of the anger that they feel toward this individual. And I think in both cases, in one case, the person was caught and somehow let go. I think they maybe spent a night in jail. And then somehow the charges, whatever, got dismissed when they went to court. It just was a mess. And then the other situation, the person was never caught. So in both cases, both of my friends are kind of stuck in a feeling of anger and fear, because it's as if they are not protected. This person, pointed a gun at them, took their vehicle, and now is back out on the street, and they're feeling the anger of being violated, and they're feeling the fear of being victimized, and they can't let go of it. And they both have expressed that their regular day-to-day lives have been disrupted,
mm-hmm.
just because, you know, you're constantly having flashbacks and looking over your shoulder, and you can't relax. And, of course, that over a long period of time, it's going to have an impact on your body. So what does a person do if they've had an experience and, for whatever reason, it hasn't been resolved in a way that makes them feel like it won't happen again? How do they let go of those stored emotions in ourselves that keep us in that state of anxiety, fear, and anger?
Well, they have to, again, come to terms with it. And if they are, because that's trauma all day long, okay? That's lived trauma. And if it's new, which means if it's just recently happened, that means that they're going to have to go through that stage of trauma before they can actually do something about it. They have to do a lot of, they should definitely get therapy. If they don't have therapy at all, I mean, if they haven't had it, they need to go through some type of trauma therapy, because it's going to affect them. That's normal for them to feel the way they feel. What they can do in the meantime, if they choose not to do therapy, they're going to have to do what they call self-reflective thought, and also verbalizing. When they start feeling hyperventilation or panic attacks or flashbacks, any of that, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe. Deep breathing, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe. I'm going to be all right. Verbalize it. They have to do it.
Yeah.
I'm safe. They have to say it and deep breathe until their body starts to really release that. Yeah.
I think that's the challenge that people have if they've been through a situation where they felt like a victim, to be able to convince themselves that they are safe. If nothing has changed in their environment, say if they maybe live in a neighborhood where things are always happening, and then they're constantly reinforcing, they're watching it on the news, they're seeing things happen to other people. So all of that tends to reinforce the feeling of non-safety. So what would you advise for people who are constantly watching bad news after something bad has happened to them so
that
they can't
smart.
Feel safe?
No. They really need to desensitize, Lamia. That means that no social media, no news, none of that.
Don't keep watching.
That would not be healthy for them.
Because someone else who had a bad experience said, well, I feel like if I watch the news and I keep up what's going on, and if things are happening near where I'm at, you know, and I was feeling like...
No, that's just a build up paranoia.
It creates more paranoia.
Because
so how can you
build up fear.
Right. You can't ever feel safe if every day you're listening to something that has happened anywhere where you live, then... What you're doing is reinforcing the thought in your mind, I'm not safe, I'm not safe, I'm not safe. So, you know, I was having a conversation with a police officer, and their radio was going on, and, you know, and just kind of listening to all the different reports. Every 10 seconds, it was some awful thing happening somewhere in the city, and I'm thinking that they got to listen to that all day long. There's no way you cannot be paranoid if every moment you're hearing of some act of violence committed on somebody. So naturally you're going to be feeling that you're not safe, even though where we were, nothing was going on. You know, calm streets, people walking around minding their business. But my thought is that because we've been conditioned to keep listening to the worst of human behavior, if a person has been through a trauma where they have been attacked or a loved one has been attacked or they've had some type of assault or anything where they've been made to feel unsafe, my feeling is the worst thing you can do is keep listening to news that reinforces that you're not safe. It makes it impossible for you to shift your thinking to feel safe because everything you're inputting into your mind, your heart, your cells, and your body is reinforcing the idea that I am not safe.
Absolutely. So let me reinforce this since you said that. If you already are at a fear-based mindset and you are putting more things in your brain in your senses, because we watch the television, we hear. This is what we do. We look at social media, we hear. And then if we experience something that's causing us to feel more threatened, all it does is just put more fear in the mind. That's all it's doing. And then that fear then creates an emotion from the thought patterns. See, we have to understand we're mind, body, and soul, which means that your heart is the one that creates your emotions. Your brain is supposed to regulate those emotions that has been created. If you're not regulating, think about this. If you're not regulating something, if you don't have balance in it, it's going to be imbalanced. Mm-hmm. So the more fear you take in, the more paranoid you're going to get. And then the brain is going to start creating delusions. Now, police officers or first responders are taught to be desensitized. They went through a training for that, like a person like me, because I deal with traumatized individuals every day. So I have to desensitize daily.
So it's a detachment that you have to have in order to not re-experience the emotions of the people that you're dealing with, because we're all connected. So,
of course,
you know, if someone is in distress, empathetically, you're going to feel distress unless you detach so that you can observe it but not experience it as they're experiencing it. Otherwise, you'd be distressed all day long.
Right, right. But you have to know, again, we go to the next system that we were supposed to go over. So remember, okay, for those who are just getting on, we're talking about the emotional regulation system when it comes to damaged emotions that's inside of us that most people don't even know about. Okay, so we're going to use those systems effectively. We go from the threat system, which is racing adrenaline. When adrenaline is released from the brain, to the drive system. That means the drive system is when you make a decision to no longer hold on to any damaged emotions from things that have caused situations to change in your life, such as grief, loss, disappointment, heartache, whatever the case may be, abuse, or whatever it is. So now you're ready to do something about it. You're ready to not just stay in that position being self-defeated or self-sabotage leading to self-destruction. You're ready to soothe yourself because we have an inbuilt soothing system. What is that? I'm going to tell you what it is. It is a part of the brain that literally says to you, are you ready to finalize? Are you ready to move on? You see what I'm saying? And that's what it's doing. So it's letting you feel all the intensity of that emotion because the emotions are just messages. They're not just to be felt, released, and let go. They're made to be acknowledged. Okay, I am feeling angry. Why am I feeling angry? What caused me to feel angry? How long shall I feel this way about this situation?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm having a little computer problem. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. So we go through all of these emotions. So we get to the soothing system. This is where a lot of people, if you don't have self-love, if you don't have self-confidence, if you don't feel that you're worthy, you will not get to the soothing system.
Mm.
The soothing system only comes when a person is saying, oh, I've been through so much, I can't take anymore, and that's it. I'm done with it. Let me feel content where I am. Let me move on. Mm-hmm. Let me leave this alone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to finalize. I'm going to forgive whoever I need to forgive. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to hold anything else in my heart because my heart is so conceived. It's so full right now. It's about to burst. And I'm walking around with the poker face knowing that I got issues.
Yes.
But then the thing about this is I don't want nobody else to know about my issues. But they really can see and feel, they can see that I'm going through something, but nobody wants to say anything. They'll say, you all right? Yes, I'm okay. Knowing that you're not.
Okay. But they don't know what to say to make you okay. They just
And that's all right. It's okay because, again, most people feel things, like you said, we're all connected, right? Mm-hmm. We all connected. You know, but at the same token, one has to be responsible for their own demise. Okay, at some given point, you got to say, okay, I've been laying in this bed too long. And I'm not just talking about a bed of affliction, a bed of infirmity, a bed of grief, a bed of anger, a bed of guilt, all of the above. Okay, so if you've been in that bed so long and that's all you know, that's all you experience, then you're not going to feel that you can soothe yourself because you feel so damaged that you don't even want to rescue yourself. That's an issue. That's a major issue, and you're not allowed to die.
Mm.
Not before your time, anyway. Mm. Don't you know people go through mental death?
Yes.
And emotional death before they even experience a physical death? Suicide comes from a mental point of view, of perception, people.
Mm.
When you feel you can no longer go on, when you feel everything is lost, when you feel that you don't have any more fight in you, that's when you mentally start dying.
Wow. Well, now I've got a question. This is a hard one because, you know, a lot of people have had different opinions about this. And we know that children are very resilient. They bounce back from tragedies in amazing ways. And yet they do feel things very deeply, and sometimes the things we do as adults make situations worse. Now, there is a practice going on now in schools. What is it called? Active shooter drills, where children are practicing what to do if someone were to come in their school with a weapon and start shooting. Now, I know when we had fire drills, you know, okay, this is what happens if the building is on fire. That wasn't traumatizing. Most of the time it was, you know, okay, you line up, you walk outside, you stand outside for a while, and you come back in. And it was only one time when we actually, I was actually in a fire drill where there was a fire that was going, I think the boiler or something in the building had caught a fire. But, you know, it was, nobody got hurt. The fire truck came, put out the situation, whatever, and we went back in the building, no problem. So there was no memory in the children's mind of, oh, I was in danger, because, I mean, we were out singing and having fun outside waiting for the fire to be put out in the boiler room. So that was not a memory of a tragedy. And yet you have memories of tragedy, even if it didn't happen at that school, children seeing and hearing it on the news, and it's constantly happening. And then at schools where it hasn't happened, they're having these drills, so it's being put into the minds of children. Someone could come in here and shoot up the school and kill up everybody. So we're going to practice what to do when that happens. I can't see how that kind of a practice could make a child not traumatized, because it's like you are living through a tragedy, and God forbid you're at one of the schools where it actually happened. Then you're also still traumatized because it did happen. And then if you have a friend that it happened to in a school that they went to, or a loved one, a relative, or anybody that you know, or if you're just watching it on the news and you're going to school and having these drills preparing you for if someone comes in your school to shoot up the school, it seems to me that is one of the most traumatizing things we can do to children. I don't know how that's going to affect them years to come, but I foresee that is more reinforcing of a trauma, and I foresee that that's going to have devastating consequences where children will be paranoid, fearful, and really pushed to the point of almost mental illness just trying to go to school. What are your thoughts on that? Have you seen any effects of that in any of the children that you've counseled, anybody that's been through any situation where they've had someone get shot? Are those drills helpful? Are they hurtful? Have you observed anything that's happening as a result of that?
Well, most kids are resilient, but at the same token, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that that's something. I think the first responders, which is the teachers, the staff, they should be able to go through those drills and not the children, because children's minds are not as, let's just say it's there's not a logical center there, and it, when you prepare them for something so tragedy, you think that it's good to take them through a drill. Oh, okay, so when the shooter comes, we're gonna go behind this door, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. But then what you lack to understand is this: when you put that memory in their mind, they're gonna always look for a shooter.
Yes.
They're going to always feel in threat mode.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And, again, this was not thought out by some psychiatrist or something. This was thought out by the systems in the schools, thinking that it is going to be a productive thing to, you know, drill their children like they would a fire inside of a school. But, again, it's not the same. And because this is real time, which is that these things are happening for real. They're not like, oh, this is once in a blue moon or never will happen. No, they are happening. So, again, when you take a child through that, they're going to always look for it. That's what they're going to do. They're just going to look for it. It's like, oh, I'm going to school. Well, they're going to be, especially if a child is dealing with anxiety.
Yes.
I would not do that. I would not put if a child has mental illness, and for you to literally put them through that? If I were the parents, I would tell them, no, I don't want my child to go through that. First responders need to know that, not the children.
Yeah, and it says to the children that the adults don't have the intelligence to do what's necessary to protect them from that happening. I mean, you have entrances into the school. Why can't you stop people at an entrance before they get in? Why can't you make sure that whoever comes into this school is unarmed? Why am I being prepared for the eventuality of you allowing me to get shot at? I just see a long range of planting anxieties and distrust in children that they can depend on the adults around them to keep them safe. Because they're constantly reinforcing, oh, we can't do anything about it. So when it happens, then we'll just show you into this room here so you can wait while you hear your classmates getting shot up. I mean, it's just horrifying. I don't understand the logic in it.
Because there's no logic in it. That's why you can't understand the logic. There's no rationale. There's no reason why the government would do that. And again, these things hoard up, you know, damaged emotions, because that's what they do. A lot of kids that walk into schools are suppressing emotions as we speak. They are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. They hear loud sounds. They get paranoid, and get startled, and they get so comfortable feeling that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that is extremely important for us to teach our children, you know, at home, you know, to be consciously aware of their environment.
Yes.
You know, wait till the school teach them. We need to teach them ourselves.
Right. Know where the exits
are. Know.
Whenever you're going to be in a place for a long period of time, just know how to get out. That's all. You know.
Exactly.
Save yourself. Hey, you know, I don't know. We have to take a break. And I know that we've probably got people who have some strong feelings about a lot of these things. But definitely, you know, how do you let go of emotions if you keep reinforcing that negative emotion? That's an issue. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, of course, we encourage you to call 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you've got questions for Dr. Debbie Green, make sure you press 1 again, 515-605-9325. And if you're on our Facebook page, Soulful Solutions. We're also sharing it with the Female Solution Facebook page. And feel free to share this page, Soulful Solutions, on Facebook or YouTube. And like and subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can get regular notifications whenever this show is live.
So yes.
We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
See you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Now, you know the saying, it takes 21 days to change
I have it? 21 days to put one in place. Okay. So you got 21 days. 21 days of changing the way you feel about who? You.
I got another question. And I know this is probably a common situation for people who have gone through the disappointment of a broken relationship, perhaps a marriage that did not last. I was having a conversation with a male associate a few months ago that they've been through two divorces. Both times left them financially devastated. The first divorce, you know, I guess it's from the love of his life. He thought they'd be married forever. And somehow it ended a lot of bitterness. I guess she had a better lawyer, and, you know, according to him. So she took the house, she took the children. He felt like she left him with nothing. So he was very angry, bitter for a while toward women. And he allowed himself to fall in love again. And somehow the same thing happened. The marriage ended. She ended up with him having to pay a large amount of child support, alimony, whatever the case may be. And again, felt like he was financially devastated. So he's now very bitter, and he said, you know, he's never going to marry again. If he just wants sex, he'll just pay for it, you know. And so the relationships that he has now are with women. He said, look, you know, I spent a lot of money on them after the sex. You know, if I want to be around her again, fine. If I don't, I'd let her go. That, you know, I'm not getting emotionally attached anymore, because all women do is break your heart, and all they want to do is take your money anyway. So, you know, why don't I just cut to the chase? This is my life. You know, I'll find a woman, spend some money on her. We have sex, I'm done with her, you know, if I like her, I might see her again, I might not, you know, whatever, but you know, I'm not trying to pretend like I'm building toward a relationship. I'm not doing that anymore. So, you know, for him that works, but how many women are you damaging because that's what you're doing to protect yourself, you believe, from being heartbroken again? And I've seen this in both men and women taking this stand of, someone hurt me, I'm not going to let it happen again, and so this is how I'm protecting myself. And yet, by doing that, they're really stuck in that emotion of hurt that they can't move past. How does a person grow beyond it? Or do they just decide, okay, this is where I'm going to be in life, and that's just it? I'm not trying to move out of my defense of hurt anymore. I'm just going to be this person who does not have feelings for people.
Yeah.
What do you do with someone who is in that stage? Is that just, okay, that's who they've chosen to be, just let it go? Or just...
Well, you can clearly see that this person has what they call a detachment disorder. The thing about this is, most people who go in and out of marriages not get allowing themselves to heal after. It takes, you know, some work to heal within that next year. If you go through a divorce, I think that it's very important for you to take space for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think you need to take yourself out of the dating category for any place, any length of time between 6 months. Maybe more, until you know you have finalized those old feelings, those old damaged emotions from the previous relationship. Because if not, you're going to find yourself feeling those same things, but with a different person. Mm. And it sounds like this is what this is about right here. Yeah. You know, him feeling the same, or them doing the same, because it's coming out of him. He's the one, it's called karma, okay? Mm. And I'm not saying he's the one that's failing. I'm saying whatever is unsettled, unfinalized in him literally comes out.
Yeah.
And he's attracting that in from the universe.
Mm. So
he's attracting the same kind. kind of similar woman because he's not healed, Naima, inside.
Yeah.
He needs to take a break from relationships. And the, see, the thing is, he, you can tell this man suffers from a point of loneliness as well. Some men don't, and women don't like to be alone. They,
right.
They'd rather have a person around them, you know, laying next to them or feeling that comfort of a warm body.
Yeah, but but emotionally they try to remain detached so that they don't get emotionally wounded again.
Well, that's because they never was healed.
Mm.
Only a person that will get emotionally wounded is a person that's never healed. Think about that. It's like if I have to put a defense mechanism up, you know, to prevent myself from being hurt, why do I have to do that when I should have finalized it?
Mm.
It is not what's on the outside of me, it's what I feel about what is happening from the outside of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe that's, I'm sensing that this is what he's been dealing with for years. And he's looking for love, but he's not going to find it like that.
Right.
He got to first love himself.
Right. And get past the fear.
And know what's best with him. Like, you know, what? It's not that the failed marriage is to find who I am. What's going on inside me that I am experiencing these failed marriages? Why am I continually cycling? And I can't keep blaming the women. After a while, you can't keep blaming other people.
Right.
And that's what people do, you know what I'm saying? They blame other people because of damaged emotions inside. Oh, I'm not going to let you hurt me again. Then you go into another relationship and you end up saying the same thing. Oh, I'm not going to let you hurt me again. Until now, you feel like a failure. Well, I'm not even going to get into any relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But then you still do, because guess what? Even whether you're married or not or just having sex, it's still a relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
So who's protecting you?
Right.
You're not protecting you because eventually you're still looking for love. You just don't want to be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're going to get the love is to love yourself, despite of what you think you need on the outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
This is where trust comes in. You got self-trust, self-discipline, self-compassion, self-awareness, self-monitoring, self-evaluation. Okay, what's going on with me? That's, you always ask that question. Everyone else, see, I think everybody else is doing something to me. Okay, this has been going on for years, so why do I always think I'm a victim?
Mm.
Why am I always thinking that I am the bullseye? Not only that, why am I responding like I am? You know, and we start answering those questions. Again, this is self-evaluation. Most people don't like looking inside themselves. They just don't. Because they know they got to work.
Right.
The self takes work. Now, you can analyze, empathize, sympathize with everybody else. But when it comes to you, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm all right.
But they're not all right.
Well, we want to look at our weak parts. We only want to show people the joy. And it's not that we are weeping inside, Naima. It's just that if there are damaged emotions, you will still be triggered. Let's just get that out of the way. There's a button in there, right, that's being pushed. Oh, you pushed my button. Oh, you did this to me. We go right back into that victim mentality because of damaged emotion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, you know the old saying, a hurt dog will holler, okay?
Yeah.
That's the way it is. You in pain, so you're gonna come out shooting, you're going to come out fighting, you're going to, you know, go through all of these things. So, you know, and, you know, like Joy Seeger says here on Facebook, let me share this with you. I really, truly admire his comment. Love you, all the power of letting go. Love you, all the power of letting go. First, God's beloved daughters and sons must learn that the life we are in, I think that's it, in the will, are not in the will of the Heavenly Father, Mother, we were born to have joy in our lives. Absolutely joy, Sagan.
Yes.
In our lives, and have been taught to receive suffering. The suffering way of life is fixed in us. It's generational programming. We have to detach from it. What is necessary is to recognize damaged emotions and our ignorance of the IT. We do not heal and pass on the pain to the next generation to seek, ask, and find. Now, the IT is what? I want to interpret that, but give me an interpretation of what that is.
I guess the it, then maybe she means, and she'll let us know, maybe the it, then she's talking about IT.
I just want to know the IT or the it.
I guess the thing that we're damaged from. And, of course, Mama Joy is our second Saturday host. We'll be seeing her coming up this Saturday on the Female Solution, her and Reverend Rosemary.
I want to let her know something. The fruits of the Spirit is one of those fruits of the Spirit is called long-suffering, my dear.
Well, you know, I think the point that she makes is that we tend to think we're supposed to stay in a bad situation, and matter of fact, I've known a number of people who will stay in a marriage that is hurtful and demeaning, believing that it's sinful to divorce. And they will believe that they have to suffer their way into heaven or suffer in order to be approved of by God. And life is suffering. And they have the power to leave that situation, but they choose not to because they have the erroneous belief that they're supposed to suffer. And you know, where does that thought come from, that you have to stay in a hurtful relationship that's making you feel bad? You know, how is that enhancing your life? How is that living life and living life more abundantly if you're in a relationship with someone who's always making you feel bad, who's unloving, uncaring, unnurturing, and you stay there out of what? A sense of duty? Well, I promise to love and honor till death do us part. Well, the marriage is dead if there's no love. And yet we're believing, and I've known so many women who have stayed in bad relationships, bad marriages, because they believe, oh, I made a vow to God to stay with this person, and that person isn't getting any better, their behavior isn't getting any better, it's still hurtful, it's breaking your spirit, and you stay there and suffer, because we've been taught we're supposed to. Women do this all the time, and I believe, you know, life is a pendulum, it swings back from one extreme to another, so we have daughters who watched that. And they said, oh, no, that's not going to be my life. And so they will not get into a marriage relationship. They'd rather just have, you know, intimacy, maybe have children or whatever. But they don't want to be trapped in a situation where they can't get out of a bond with someone who is unloving. So they take the opposite view and say, I'm not going to be in a committed relationship with anybody because I'm not having anybody do to me what I saw my mother go through. I'm not going to experience that
right.
in my life. And so they take the other extreme and say, I want no commitments at all. I'm just going to live my life, have fun, have a relationship every now and then. If I have a child, oh, well, I'm not getting married because I don't want anybody controlling me or whatever it is. But they swing that pendulum to the opposite extreme because of what they witnessed their mothers endure of suffering rather than getting out of the suffering situation and becoming happy or finding someone who respected them.
Right, right. But then again, you know, people struggle with self-independence.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's what causes them to be codependent.
Yes.
Even in the most difficult circumstances.
It's the fear that they can't take care of themselves.
Yeah, but not just that. It's the fear of making a choice, period.
Fear of making a choice, yeah.
Yeah, a choice of difference, a choice of stance, an intellectual directional stance. I'm standing up for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing up for me. In order for one to stand up for oneself, one has to love oneself, mm-hmm. has to be acknowledged, have to understand their self-worth, have to understand their self-value. So have to have, you know, a certain amount of, say, high self-esteem, high self-confidence. So if, again, if they don't have these things, and that's from damaged emotions from past situations of childhood trauma or young adulthood trauma, whatever the case may be, then they find themselves in a place of captivity.
Mm.
And we call that bondage, yeah. Mental bondage, emotional bondage, and going back into those things. They may come out of them, but this is how, like, for example, domestic violence is so surreal. You'll find someone that has had a domestic violence relationship and then end up in another one.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Now, why is
because
that?
Because of not having those, because of the concepts. They don't have the concepts in place. That, they, remember I told you, you have to heal.
Mm.
Healing is something that's done inwardly. It's not something that's done outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
You can have all the support in the world. You can have somebody doing everything for you, but if you're not healed on the inside, you're going to continue the cycles of the damaged emotions in your life.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Keep attracting
these
that same
are non-tangibles.
Thing.
Non-tangibles are feelings, thoughts. What you think of yourself, what you think, well, you know, what you feel about your being, what you feel about what you deserve. You know, sometimes we get too high on that ladder too. We get to a point where we get too prideful. Oh, I deserve this, I deserve that, which then cheats you of something wonderful as well. So one must have balance in that. You can't
balance.
Be too low, you can't be too high.
Balance.
You got to have a baseline. What is a baseline? A baseline is like, I am worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I am valuable. I'm not better than anyone else, but I am who God created me to be
right.
within myself. I understand my faults, I understand my weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
and I accept whatever has happened to me. However, I know I have to make a choice to live and not die.
Mm.
Not die emotionally, not die mentally, not die spiritually, definitely not die physically.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because it's very important. So whatever's coming into my life, it has to answer those questions. Are you giving life to what I just said? Or are you giving life to what I just said? Because if you come to me and you're trying to take life, I'm so sorry. It's not an option. I would have to let you go. I would have to move away from you. You know what I'm saying? I don't hate you. Because I'm not going to depart from you with hate in my heart.
Mm.
I'm just letting you know that we are unhealthy for each other.
Mm.
That's all. And you want to be my friend, we have to find a mutual understanding. And I don't care if it's woman to woman, man to man, child to child. It doesn't matter because all of it's the same way when it comes to mutual understanding.
Right.
Because people have problems letting people go. And they have problems letting emotions with people go.
So now what
go
happens?
Go means detached.
Yeah. So now what happens? What happens in situations? Well, I'll just mention one that I'm familiar with. That, hey, Regina, great being. Yes, that this situation where a woman discovered that her husband had another relationship and he decided he wanted a divorce so that he could pursue this other relationship. He didn't want to be married anymore. And she said, I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let her win. I'm not going to let her have him. And so she was very adamant about, we're not getting a divorce, we're going to work out our marriage. And he, you know, every now and then spends nights at the other woman's house, and, you know, his wife, she does the things that angry, jealous wives do, you know, call the woman, you know, saying bad things to her, you know, you so so-and-so leave my husband alone? What kind of decent woman would be chasing after a married man? And you know, all these things. And my thought was, why are you holding on to someone who has let you go, even though he's staying at your house because you all have not gone through the divorce proceedings, but emotionally he has left. Physically, half the time he's gone, and you're blaming the woman as trying to take your husband. But nobody can take someone from you. People's emotions are their own free will. And if his decision is, I am attracted to this other woman, and since, you know, your thought is, well, you can't see her and me, and your thought is, she can't have you, I'm taking back my husband, or whatever the case may be, why are you holding on to someone who's trying to leave? So I see that happening all the time. And that particular couple that's going through that, my question is, why are you seeing this as a competition? I'm going to win. I'm not going to let her have him. You know, she's trying to take my husband. You can't own a person. If a relationship has ended, then you let it go so that you can attract to you someone who wishes to be in a relationship with you. You know, I tend to believe that the way we view marriage is inappropriate and damaging because we see it as permanent ownership of a person. When you can't own a person, you can't own their emotions. You can have an agreement to be companions, to even be legal family, which gives you certain rights and responsibilities. But if the emotions between you end effectively so that you no longer want to be attached, if either person feels that, then you must give them the freedom to leave. You must free yourself to leave. You must allow them to grow in the direction that they're growing so that you can grow in the direction you're growing because you're no longer walking together. So
how
can we change our mindset about that so that ending a relationship isn't so traumatic, so damaging, so punitive, so vindictive, and so full of anger that people hold on to for the rest of their lives because someone's emotions have shifted to another direction?
Again, this is another area of false reality appearing real. Fear. She's in fear because she's lost her husband. And so in her irrational state, she wants to blame someone else instead of looking at her husband as leaving her. She don't want to see the truth, Naima. Mm-hmm. It's not about the woman on the other side. He has made a decision to leave you. Mm-hmm. That's the deal. She don't want to see the truth. She just wants, in her mind, it's easier for her to create something that's really doesn't make sense at all. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because she has to make that decision to see life for what it is, that the relationship is over, like you said. She doesn't want to accept that. So she's doing that's fear-based thinking where she is right now. Fear-based thinking hides the truth and kind of puts it in some kind of mirage-type state where, oh, it's not this, but it's this. But everybody else can see the truth. Mm. You know? And that the truth is that person is an individual. Her husband is an individual-minded person. He made a choice to no longer be faithful to her. That's when the marriage was over. Yeah. It's when he started sleeping with other people. This is way beyond the divorce. Divorce just comes along with it. You see what I'm saying? But she herself has not let him go because she still wants him damaged. Mm. be honest with you. Let's break it all the way down. She wants to, she's damaged from the emotions that she suffered from it, and she still wants the damaged part. So the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to stay in the damaged emotions, because even if he comes back home, you're still going to feel the same way. It ain't nothing going to change.
Right. You'll still be anger.
So what is the purpose? She needs therapy.
Yes.
Because it's nothing going to change. Eventually, he's going to move on, and she's going to be stuck right there in that same mindset. Oh, somebody took my husband. Oh, this and no, your husband walked away.
Yes. He no longer
he left you.
In that relationship. He was
exactly.
He didn't want to be married to you anymore. That
was exactly, because he's the one that he's the one that's in between. If he did not want to, if he was faithful to her, he would have never done it. It ain't about the woman. It's never about the other person.
No, no one can take someone from you. You know that you can't. First of all, you don't own anybody. And people have emotions. They pull apart. They pull together. And everybody has their own free will for their own emotions. I think that historically, marriage was based on the idea of a man owning a woman. So the vows was, you know, and that was the right, you had the love, honor, obey, you know, in the vows for the woman's part. You didn't have the obey for the man, you notice that. But the whole idea was you being a piece of property for a man. So now we've kind of evolved out of that somewhat with the idea of a mutual partnership, but we haven't really got to the point where we respect each other's free will.
Mm-hmm.
And acknowledge the fact that even as we intend for this to be until one of us departs from this physical life, sometimes what holds you together ends before that time. And you need
right.
to have the freedom to go your separate ways without it being a bitter parting. And we have not evolved to a higher level of consciousness where we're able to allow people to do that without some type of stigma attached to, oh, you a failed marriage, or you cheated, or you left, or you violated your vows, or, you know, all those things, instead of realizing that people grow. And sometimes you grow together, and sometimes you grow apart. And sometimes people have habits and ways that make it impossible for someone to live with them because they have not healed from other childhood traumas. So if they've got, you know, addictions or whatever behaviors that are manifesting and they make it difficult for people to be in partnership with them, then the person who's healthy is going to want to move away from that and say, you know, you need time alone. I can't be your marriage partner because you have not healed and you're causing damage to everybody else in the family. You know, so decisions have to be made like that sometimes. And I think we have to allow for that in our culture so that people aren't feeling like they can't let go when something is gone, when something is over, when something needs to end.
Again, we cannot see. I think Mr. Gina Green said it so nicely. People must start seeing one another as possessions.
Absolutely.
That's very true.
Absolutely.
Because we are independent people, and we have a soul force in each one of us.
Yeah.
Our souls cannot live for another human being, neither
right.
can their souls live for us. So what does that mean? We come with different things. Each one of us have a thumbprint that is, you know, a fingerprint that is different from every human being on this earth. What does that mean? That means that whatever you're going through, whatever that person's going through, they may not see it the way you see it. You see what I'm saying? Because that's their life force. That's their opinions. So you say, well, does that mean that people just go around violating other people? No, it's not a violation. It's just the way it is.
Right. You have a right
to your emotions. Until we accept our own demise. See, the thing about this is we don't often look at ourselves as the culprit, which is, okay, if I'm in this relationship with someone and eventually that relationship starts to change. It went from a loving relationship, understanding, sweet, but all, and no such thing as all of a sudden. Let's just get that out of the way because it's been coming on for some time. Okay, so let's say it starts to recede and things start to change. Mm-hmm. The tides of life changes it, all right, because of different circumstances, situations, circumstances, with or without our control. Okay, so what happens? Again, like you were talking about the person that's in this relationship with this husband that chose to no longer be a husband to her. So he moved on. You see what I'm saying? Now, the reasons why he moved on, we can clearly see, you know, because he feels differently about her.
Right.
It's something that we don't know that she's doing or whatever the case may be, that he feels is no longer needs to be a part of his life. And the thing about this is, which I know that it's not very healthy, is that he has transitioned. He gets the opportunity to go in between both houses. And that's because she has allowed him to do that. But the average person, I mean, a woman that has greater self-control and self-pride will say, no, you're in a divorce, you go where you're going, and I'll stay where I stay.
Right.
No, you're not going to end up coming in and out my house. No, we're not doing that.
Calling the other woman and threatening and her and whatnot, you know, because you can't do, she has her house, she has the right to be who she is, and, you know, well, that's a whole thing. That's, again, believing people are possessions and that someone can take someone from you or stealing someone from you, and so you want to treat them as if they're a thief when, in fact, you can't own a person. You can't own a person. Did we take the last break? I don't remember.
Not yet, no.
Let's take a quick break, and then we got some callers on the line, and so we'll be right back after this one quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Susan of Susan Essentials is certified by the number one functional medicine doctor on plant-based healing essential oils, which are revolutionizing the way we manage our well-being. Schedule today to take control of your health.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful, wonderful. Good morning, ladies. Love you. Grand Rising. This is Mama Joy.
Hey,
I
Mama
hate to revert back. But I know you guys had some questions on my comment on from the Facebook. You know, my daughter's always complaining to me, Mama, you need to watch your spelling and yada, yada. But, you know, I'm a Southern girl. I'm a Southern girl, and I even admit that I'm also a daughter. I'm not a daughter of the Confederate, but I am one who's come through that teachings and that programming of suffering, which is quite different than what is described in the fruits of the Spirit and the Scripture. See, when we forget that the Scriptures were used in order to bound chain our ancestors, it is not against the church. It's just against, it's about the heart issue. What kind of heart was teaching us? What heart was, who gave us the Bible? And what was their intention? Were their intentions for us to ever let go to suffering? See, I'm like about fourth generation from slavery. And when I was having problems with my husband, he was beating my butt up and down, not just the city, but the country, everywhere I went. He found me. And I'm beginning to realize that my mama was probably the one who was letting him know where I was. She truly believed that, and she told me, she said, you made that bed, you got to lay in it. So the marriage was not one that was supposed to be a joy for me. I made a decision to be with that man, and that's where God wanted me to go. And I said, no, okay? So I noticed that people who are here from the North, they have a different perspective of what we, of Bible, of politics. I mean, the ideology, though we have the same black skin, we have got to understand that that Northern and that Southern Confederacy. I'm across the Mason-Dixon line, and these words were very much to me, and I know they're very real, and that I try to come to some conclusions with people. I just have to say, hey, I'm from the South. So, yeah, suffering is a fruit of the Spirit, but the suffering comes when pain, when we're going to have pain. We're going to have suffering, but that's not the dwelling house that we're supposed to live in. It's going through that suffering and overcoming that pain. That joy will come in the morning, and you are far greater that you endure it and embrace it as an offering of life. I mean, you know, every day we get stung, you know. But how do you face that? How do you detach it? How do you detach it? You know, learning how to let go on even on a minute level. But honey, child, I enjoy y'all this morning. I want to know those and the it. And the it is that which you don't want to let go. Whatever that it is, in order for you to let it go, you got to know what that it is. And then you can let it go and send it back to wherever you want to send it, to the pits of hell, across the mountain, or wherever. But you got to know what that it is before you can let it go. Right? Love you.
I agree. Well, if you look at suffering or the experience of suffering, suffering is created by, as you said, Dr. Debbie, how you feel about what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're feeling bad about it, that's what creates your suffering. But it's like being in a bathtub. You're taking a bath and you're washing off the dirt. You don't just keep sitting in the tub forever with the dirt that you've washed off. You get out of the tub and you wipe yourself dry so that the dirt and the dirt stays in the tub. So we have to get out of the tub. We can't just sit in our suffering and just sit there forever. We're supposed to wash off whatever that experience is, leave it in that water, and get out of the water, dry ourselves off, and be cleansed. So the idea that life is supposed to be suffering, that's like somebody never getting out of the bathtub after they've washed the dirt off, but you're still sitting in it, so it's still on you. You have to get out of it and let it go.
Well, you know, just one more comment if I can, and then I'm going to go real quickly. One of the things that my husband said as he was dying with cancer, and this was my second union, but he said to me, he said, "You're still here with me. I don't understand that." And I said, "Well, I'm your wife. I'm supposed to be there." And then something stuck me saying, "Oh my goodness, he's stuck with that same bug. That if I was in his place, he would have had a place of comfort with somebody else." Hello? Okay. Going through that, cleaning him up and working with him, to me, people were saying, "Girl, I don't know about all that suffering. He's suffering. You're going, I don't know if I could do that." But what I frame in mind, and that's the power of the mind that you're talking about, Naima. The mind is so powerful until I did not look at me suffering, okay? I looked at this as an honor to God, to be with him through his suffering, and through my love for him would bring him whatever joy I can, as we know he was coming to the end of his days. But I know God allowed me to take that, the pain and things that I was going through, and to not see that, reframing too, Dr. Green, learning how to reframe our thoughts. It's so valuable. And so I just wanted you to know I appreciate your comment, Naima, as well. You know, the mind, putting yourself in the frame. Look at your suffering different. Turn it into something else
that
is worthy of God's glory.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mama Joy. We appreciate you. We'll be listening in on this Saturday, second Saturday of the month, Female Solution Global Radio TV Show with Mama Joy and Reverend Rosemary. Neighborship of Joy. Tune on in, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And wherever you are in the world, tune in live or listen to it in the archives.
Yes, we're going to have a few kids with us this Saturday. I'm hoping that we have, at least four. But we're going to have some kids getting their viewpoints about what's going on and how they feel about what's going on, you know. And
I love to hear it.
Do we have any more callers there, or is that?
Let me see here. And thank you so much, Mama Joy. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Yes.
And if you're on our switchboard now, I got a thought. Press one. We got a few more minutes before we go. We got a minute or so for 312-671. Give us your question or comment for Mama Joy regarding the practice of letting go.
Oh, Mama Joy.
312-671, your mic is open. Give us your name where you're calling from and your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green. Go right ahead.
Well, and Yashalom, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum. Good morning, Dr. Debbie Jones. Green. How are you? And Sister Naima on the world's greatest station and radio station and nation, and this is Minister Plum. In Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, thank you for joining us. We are fantastic.
Yes.
Bless
you are, and we are fantastic. You know, I'm so happy that you all are being a part of the solution for us in every direction. I wanted to know, Dr. Debbie Green, if if you think that the village would be also a part of, you know, the situation of a man and a husband and a wife, would the village help in these kind of, for instance, or experience or cases, do you think?
Oh, well, thank you for that question. Thank you for that question, Dr. Minister Plump. Collectively, if people are having difficulties, is it if they, because we were talking about community yesterday, if they have more of a village concept, more of a community concept, collectively, can others help them in the healing process?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm actually working on a project right now. It's called RISE, R-I-S-E, and that's Reaching Inwardly for Spiritual Empowerment. And the topic of that is actually putting, I'm putting something together for people who are going through damaged emotions or weakness, leading to mental illness. It's like a support group. Support system online virtually, and I'm putting it together where it is going to be accessible. So that is definitely something that, you know, every state can take on. You know, I'm just going to start it here in Atlanta, but I would love to introduce it to the village, you know, and introduce it to the collaborative organizations that want to promote healing, because it comes with education. People have to learn to be healed, sir, because they have unlearned to be healed.
Absolutely.
So they have to learn to be healed. So I will be providing workshops, seminars, things of that nature, you know, and topical information, psychoeducation to help them to assess a different mindset, you know, far as where they are now and where they should be later.
That is
great.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got another caller that popped up. Got about a minute for 678-523. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green. Go right ahead.
Great being, my sisters. This is Regina Green from Douglasville, Georgia. And I just wanted to ask. Hi. How's everyone? Great. I want to thank you so much for all that you share. But I also wanted to add, you're welcome. I also wanted to add that my take on the conversation is that perception is everything. When we perceive that relationships are ideal, what does that ideal really mean? What's been programmed into our minds as being a reality, of being perfection? You know, and I think it starts with early education of how to see life outside of the box. So perception and attachment, you know, we attach to imaginary situations and in particular relationships. So thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you so much in being. Much love.
Thank you so much
for joining us. Yeah, we've got about a minute before we sign off. So last words of wisdom, Dr. Debbie Green.
Your emotions are everything, and it's up to you to control the self, the being. God gave us the image so that we can control. He gave you the power of choice, the power of authority, and a sound mind, not a mind of fear. So don't be afraid to live life. If something does not work, don't try to fix it. Don't try to force it. Let it go. Move on, because there's something. You got to make room for something better. Again, we hoard up so much things in our lives and don't realize that, you know, we are not making room. We're supposed to make room. So as we are making room, allow yourself to heal from the inside out, and then be the predeterminer of your own faith in your walk of life, and stay blessed.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thanks to everybody who joined us.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.